Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
So this morning, maybe let's just pray again. I'd like to pray as we just come to God's word for us this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. Lord, that you choose to dwell and to make your home in us and in our hearts and with us. And Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to us through your word, through your spirit at work in us. Lord, that we would have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and Lord, hands and feet that are ready to go and do according to your word. Father, we just pray that this would be a moment where we hear you, where we have that revelation, that understanding that comes from you and what you want for us and the relationship that you want to have with us. Lord, we pray and ask you to be our teacher, to be our guide, to be our understanding, to be our wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray this together. Amen. Amen. So we've just finished a series. Those of you who've been here, we've been talking about purposes of the church, and we've been talking about discipleship, as Hayley mentioned, and we've been talking about evangelism, we've been talking about worship, and we've been talking about, what else have we been talking about? I missed one. What did I miss? Baptism. That's right. Baptism and fellowship and family. Well done, BB. Good job. You get a gold star. If I had a gold star, I would give it to you right now. At least I know one person was paying attention. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, how did you know the answer then? Oh, you've been listening online. Oh, that's how you even get two gold stars for being diligent and like catching up when you're not here. Awesome. But I want to just, I guess this morning as I was just praying during the week and asking God, like, okay, where do we go next? Like, what do you want to talk about with us this week, Jesus? And there was one thought, I guess one idea that kind of really kept coming back to me, and that was this idea, I guess, of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I guess just, I want to unpack just a little bit more about discipleship and our relationship with Jesus and kind of what that looks like just a little bit more. And hopefully we won't sort of recover ground that we've already covered and we'll kind of discover a little bit more deeply. But as we read through the Gospels, I'm sure that you've read some of the Gospels. If you've ever opened a Bible, the Gospels is usually a good place to start, isn't it? We discover a lot about the life of Jesus. When we talk about being a Christian, it's really about being we often use the term being a follower of Jesus. And it isn't so much just about a set of rules or religion, as we know. This is not new to most of you guys, I'm sure, but it's about being followers and imitators of Jesus. And in the Gospels, we read lots of stories about people who came to Jesus with questions, don't we? And there was people who came to Jesus and they wanted to know stuff. They wanted to know how to live life more fully. They wanted to know how to connect with God. They wanted to know how to love others more deeply and more genuinely. They wanted to know about death and eternal life. They wanted to experience God's forgiveness for their failure and for their sin. There were people who came to Jesus because they wanted to know how to pray, how to worship in a way that like was acceptable and pleasing to God. And they wanted to know how to understand and make sense of things that God has said to us, things that are recorded in Scripture and things that we have recorded from the past. And often people today come to Jesus, come to church, come to you as a Christian or someone they know as a Christian, and they have some of the same kinds of questions. Now, the people who came to Jesus and asked these kind of questions or wanted to know these kinds of things, Jesus very often extended what was really a very simple invitation. He said, "Come and follow me." There's a little bit of what we talked about last week when we were talking about discipleship and this idea of coming and following Jesus. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Come and follow me"? Now, to some, particularly as we read in the Gospels, where, you know, there were those to whom he meant that quite literally. He said, come and follow me. And they followed him around. They left what they were doing and they walked and around with him, spent time with him, learnt from him. And I think for many it was like that, though. The first disciples is a great account. Some of you would be familiar with it, of a rich young man who came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Do you remember the story? And Jesus says, well, you know the Ten Commandments, you know, obey the Ten Commandments. And he says, oh, I've done all that. Like, oh, I'm awesome at that. I've kept all those Ten Commandments since I was little. You know, and Jesus looked at him and he loved him and he said, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have, all your possessions, give it all away to the poor, and what? Follow me. Exactly. So Jesus extends this invitation. Now, unfortunately, in this scenario, this young man was unable to let go of that which really had captured his heart. What was really his security and his wealth? And at least at this point in time, I don't know about you, but I harbor some sort of little hope for this guy because I like this guy. And I hope that there was a point later on where he came and he responded. Now, I don't know whether he did. Scripture is not clear. It is very silent on that matter. But there's part of me that hopes that there was a point later on where as God's words began to sink into him, as he began to hear stories of things that Jesus had did, maybe even as he began to hear the accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross and death on the cross and resurrection. That there was something in him that stirred, something in him that broke the power of that the wealth and the riches over him and the transforming power of God. But there's also stories, so we have like early encounters of people who came to Jesus and Jesus said, come and follow me, and he taught them. But there's also recorded in our scripture like these kind of stories, and there's an encouragement that this is not just for those people, but this invitation to follow Jesus is also for those of us who are here now, for you and for me. And probably for most of you, you've taken up that invitation to follow Jesus. And so like me, you're a firm believer in the sense that this invitation to you is a very real one, to come and live and learn from Jesus. And we come, and there's this sense of, you know, what, for you and for me, like wanting to learn how to live the kind of life that Jesus lived, a life that's marked by passionate love for God. Anybody desire that? Yeah, I hope that we all do. But a life that's marked by compassion for people. We can learn and we can develop traits like humility and forgiveness. The practices of prayer and worship can be cultivated and developed within us. But, you know, like all kind of apprenticeships, like all new things that we learn, like all kind of stuff that doesn't just come naturally, we've got to have a teacher. We need someone to teach us. We need someone to show us how to do those things and help us to develop those things and point out where we haven't quite got it right. Just as Jesus did with his early followers, he offers to do that for us today and to take that role in our lives. We talked about, like I said before, we talked about discipleship last week, and we talked about how a disciple can be likened to an apprentice or a student or essentially someone who is learning from a master. But this invitation to follow Jesus is relatively straightforward. Now, we spend our whole lives learning how to really do it effectively, don't we? I'm not sure that any of us could really say we've achieved the skill level of Jesus when it comes to passionate love for God and compassion for people and humility and all those other kinds of things. We're working on it. We're a work in progress, aren't we? But what it means to follow Jesus, firstly, is that we've come to a point of actually desiring the kind of life that Jesus offers. We've kind of come to this realization that Jesus is who he said he was, who he said he is, who he claims to be, that Jesus is the source of wisdom and understanding that we're looking for. Following Jesus begins with trusting in him and trusting in his promises. After all, like, who would apprentice themselves to an incompetent tradesperson? You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't go out and go, well, I'm going to learn from this guy because he has absolutely no idea what he's doing. Not deliberately, no, that's right. You may get into it and find out that they're perhaps not as competent as what they'd portrayed themselves to be, but, you know, if you set out to become an apprentice, you say, I want to be an electrician, so I'm going to go out and find someone who's actually qualified and skilled as an electrician, and I'm going to learn from that person. We don't set out to go, well, I'm going to find the most incompetent person I can who's electrocuted himself 37 times and I'm going to go and learn from him how to do it, because the chances are we probably learn all the same things. So this is the first part of being a disciple, is this kind of, you know, this desire to live the life that Jesus offers, this understanding that he's got what we need. The second thing that following Jesus meant, and I really want to kind of just spend a little bit of time just examining and exploring this second point, but the second point is following Jesus means being with him. Following Jesus means being with him. This is not an online course. One of the key beliefs of our faith as Christians is that Jesus died for the sins of mankind, but was then resurrected from the dead and is now alive. You later, like, you know, woo, cheer, celebrate. Yes, God's alive. God's not dead. He's surely alive. But one of the things that means for us is that he is actually, because he's alive, is that he's actually available to us to have a relationship with. He's personally available for us to connect with, for us, his followers. We can know him. We can experience him. And I think there's a lot of people in the world today that fall into the trap of thinking they know God when what they really know is stuff about God. Jesus says, you need to know me. You need to spend time with me. We can learn to hear him speak to us, learn to hear his voice through cultivating prayer, through worship, through reading his word and the things that he says. We can spend time with him. Now, the early followers of Jesus spent time with him, didn't they? And I began to kind of think, you know, what would that have looked like? Because when we read the Gospels, I think that sometimes we get a very distilled and highlighted version of that 3 years that Jesus spent with his disciples. And sometimes that can kind of lead us into this sort of skewed mindset of assuming that every moment was nonstop action. You know, every moment Jesus was healing somebody, or he was preaching on a hillside, or he was casting out demons. And, you know, yes, he did that. And there's probably a lot of those encounters that even that are not recorded in Scripture. But, you know, there's also that sense of, you know, what about those in-between times? What did that look like? What did it look like when they were just walking along the road? You know, yes, I'm sure that there were, you know, teaching moments, and we record encounters of Jesus, and they were walking off the road and heading somewhere, and somebody stopped them, or somebody interrupted, and Jesus healed somebody, or there was they saw a fig tree, and so there was a special teaching moment where Jesus cursed the fig tree, or whatever the case might be. But I started to wonder if there were moments where they just walked along the road in silence and just enjoyed each other's company. I started to wonder if there were times when on some longer trips that took sort of 2 or 3 days, did they just pull over and, you know, pull up a bit of grass on the side of the road or something? You know, did they just camp on the side of the road and make a fire and, you know, pull out the flatbread and I don't know. I'm sure they probably didn't cook marshmallows, but, you know. Were there times when Jesus and the disciples just talked about regular stuff, non-spiritual stuff, I don't know if that's some kind of heresy or if your brains can cope with that. Sometimes we kind of go, Jesus, talking about non-spiritual stuff, I'm not sure if I'm okay with that. You know, did he talk about the weather or, you know, other than the signs in the sky or something? You know, I'm sure there were people trying to interpret things, but the Bible tells us that Jesus was fully man, yes? I just started to wonder if there was ever moments where they just, you know, would just shoot the breeze and just be blokes with each other and be guys and talk about things that didn't really matter. maybe they had discussions about, you know, who was the best cook in the group, you know, or whose turn it was to do the dishes or something, I don't know. Although, you know, Maybe they're some of the guys who were married, maybe their wives traveled with them, I don't know. You ever think about the disciples being married, where their wives were? No? It's funny, isn't it? We know that at least some of them were married, because Paul refers to several of the apostles who had wives, and we know that Peter had a mother-in-law, don't we? Because Jesus healed her. Were they just at home while, you know, the disciples were off traveling around with Jesus for 3 years? And how did they feel about that? Did they come with? I don't know. Did they laugh about the time, you know, when Andrew wasn't looking where he was going, when they were following along behind a caravan of donkeys or horses or something and, you know, stepped in something he shouldn't have? Or, you know, it's like, this is the kind of, just being with Jesus. And I think sometimes we want to over-spiritualize what it means to just be with Jesus. We kind of think it always has to be these super intense Sermon on the Mount teaching kind of moments, or it has to always be about, you know, serving and miracles and healing and doing stuff. You know, I think there's a very real sense that I think there are times when Jesus is just calling us to just sit and be. Have we lost that ability to just be with Jesus? Is it something that we need to intentionally cultivate just a little bit more than what many of us do today? To sit with Jesus with no plans, with no agendas, with nothing to get done, with nothing to prepare for. This is a really difficult one for me. As a pastor, and you guys know that I preach most weeks and do other stuff during the week and all kinds of things. And if you've preached a sermon or you know maybe even just a communion talk like Hayley did this morning, didn't she do an awesome job today? Really appreciating the things that you're sharing, Hayley. It's awesome. Good job. But you probably spent a little bit of time working on that, yeah, hey. You know, and so for me, like one of the challenges for me, and you may not relate to this, I don't know, but one of the challenges for me is when I open my Bible and I read stuff and I start to think about, oh, that'd be a good sermon, you know. It's really hard for me to be disciplined enough, and I don't do it enough, where I just sit and read and deliberately go, I am not going to prepare any sermon notes out of anything I read today. That's really hard. Is that funny, isn't it? How, you know, it's hard for me to go, how do I, you know, what are the things that I need to hear from God for my own kind of spiritual growth and relationship and just sitting with God and just hearing with God and not go, God, you know, I need an answer from you about this situation that the church is in, or I need, you know, some wisdom for this person that I need to share. And it's often about what I need from God in order to be able to give out. And I don't know if you're wired a little bit that way, if you're in that position where you do give out to people and you are part of, you know, leadership in some way, shape or form, or whether you're just an encourager and whatever. You know, when was the last time that you prayed without it being praying for something or for someone? When you just prayed just to hang out with God and just to spend time with God And it wasn't about, God, this person needs something, what should I do? Or God, what about this need or this thing in my life? Or, you know, I'm becoming more and more convinced, and I think one of the things that God has been challenging me on and speaking to me about, particularly in the last couple of weeks, is this whole idea of finding those moments, finding those times of solitude, of quietness, of just me being with God and with God alone, and switching off the other voices and switching off all the other stuff and just being with Jesus. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that this is the path to actually real transformational kind of change in our life. I don't know about you, but do you ever get frustrated when you want to be more mature and you want to kind of be growing and doing stuff and getting closer to God, but you feel like you just kind of keep going around in circles, or you keep, you know, keep struggling? I won't ask you to put your hand up or anything, but you kind of keep struggling and pushing and feeling like you're always in the same spot. I think one of the keys to transformation, one of the keys to actually going forward and seeing changes in our life, is this discipline of being able to quiet ourselves and hear, you know, and just spend time and just be with God. Allow Him to just, you know, bring refreshing, bring healing, to show us stuff, reveal stuff. And we kind of got to be disciplined about actually making time to allow God to speak into our life. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this idea of being still. You know, we got Isaiah 40 and talking about waiting on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We got all through the Psalms, there are things like, you know, Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." We sing the song, don't we? "Be still and know that I am God." So there's this kind of, you know, and we see, you know, through the Gospels, we see moments when Jesus just go, "Right, you know, guys, I just need to go away, switch off, detach, be by myself with God, you know, just me and God and God alone." And I think there's some significance in that, and sometimes I think we undervalue that. But it's hard, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever really tried to just kind of sit and be quiet with God without a devotional in front of you to read, or a DVD, teaching DVD or something to put on, or, you know, worship music, or, you know, like, here's my list of scriptures that I'm going to read today or something, just to sit and be still and be quiet before God. It can be really challenging. And you know, we sit down and, you know, we kind of, our mind is just going like a million miles an hour. You know, and we're thinking through all these kind of things and, like, you know, what should I be doing right now? Because there's this that needs doing and that needs doing, and the yard needs mowing, and the washing needs doing, and there's those dishes there, and what am I going to do for dinner tonight? And, you know, what are the kids doing after school? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, and stuff just kind of goes through our head. It's a little bit like I was listening to a podcast, and they used this little visual illustration, which I thought was really fantastic. You know, it's kind of what it's like when you're in the water. You know, for me, I think about being down at the beach, and you're walking through and you're kind of kicking up the sand, and the water gets all cloudy. And, you know, what do you need to do for the water to clear? Stop moving. Be still and wait. And all the sediment just kind of all settles to the bottom, and then it's all clear again. And sometimes this stillness is what we need to actually wait on God, to be still, allow the sediment and the cloudiness to kind of all sort of settle down before we can actually, like, hear God a little bit more clearly, to see things a little bit more clearly. But sometimes we've got to be content to just sit at Jesus' feet and not be doing stuff. That might remind you of a little story, because it did for me in Luke chapter 10. I don't have it on the screen today, but if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 10? You probably are quite familiar with this story, many of you, but it's a great story, and I'll just read it together. This is one of those moments where Jesus is just hanging out with his disciples. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And it's the story of Jesus, and he's with his disciples, and he's visiting at the home of Martha and Mary. In verse 38, it says, as Jesus and disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary chose to just sit at Jesus' feet, to just listen, to put aside the stuff that she knew she was expected to do. Like, they were sisters, right? Mary knew exactly what would be going through Martha's mind. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. If you got siblings, you understand. Like, you know. But Mary made a choice. She knew there'd be consequences. She knew Martha would get stuck into her later. But Mary says, right now, the only thing that's important to me is sitting at the feet of this man, Jesus, and being with him. This is one of the things that it isn't easy. And it's not just because, you know, we kind of have to discipline ourselves, you know, to be still. It's not only because we've got to carve out time in what's usually a busy schedule, but it also means, it's also difficult, I think, because it means that we have to trust God to take care of the things that we're not doing. And sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? It shouldn't be. And I think we know in our heads that it shouldn't be a hard thing. Our head says, of course I can trust God to take care of those things. But our heart says, but he's not doing it the way I want to do it. So we go, but God, I just need to help you out a little bit here. Just need to show you how I'd like it to be done, please. Thank you very much. You know, but sitting and taking that time out and not doing those things, maybe you're not chasing after those things, or, you know, trying to do things in our own strength, letting go of that control requires us to trust Jesus to take care of those things for us, doesn't it? And I think this is perhaps one of the things that God wants us to learn. God wants us to learn that he's trustworthy and he's faithful, and it might not look like what we would have done, but it's going to be good, and he's going to take care of it, and we're safe in his hands with his plans. So being still, how can you carve out some time? How can you find some time? Maybe it's as simple as finding 10 minutes to sit, to be quiet, to turn everything off. No computers, no tablets, no phones. Just sit and listen to God. Maybe it's as simple as that. Sounds simple, doesn't it? No, it's, well, no. Simple, but perhaps not easy. How's that? Yeah, all right. And one of the things about it is that you may find that it doesn't feel like you're being very successful at it. When we sit down and try to do stuff and, you know, we spend 10 minutes and we go, okay, but, you know, my mind was just a constant whirl of activity the entire time. Did I accomplish anything? Was it worthwhile? Am I just a miserable failure at trying to do this? Should I give up? I think one of the things is that the fruit, the evidence of what it's doing in us is not always immediately evident. And I say this not as someone who is an expert by any means, I say this by faith that, you know, it's one of those things that as we do it, as it becomes a discipline and a practice for us, no matter, you know, A, we'll get better at it, but it'll be in those moments where, you know, we suddenly find ourselves in crisis mode and we have that kind of peace. And that's the benefits of sitting and learning to just listen to God's voice. Okay, so the third thing, so discipleship was firstly about recognizing that Jesus is or has the kind of wisdom and understanding that we're looking for. Second was about being with him. And thirdly, following Jesus means learning to obey him. After all, you know, what's the point of apprenticing yourself to an expert if you don't listen to what they say? If you're just going to go out and do everything your own way anyway, you could have done that without an expert, yeah? If Jesus is the expert, we need to listen to what he says. Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 7, you can look at this, but he talks about this whole idea of, you know, if you listen to my words and you put them into practice, you're like a person who builds a house on a solid foundation. When the storms come, the house stands strong because it's got a good foundation underneath it. But if you listen to my words and you just go and do your own thing anyway, you're like a person who builds a house on a very soft and sandy kind of foundation. As soon as there's a bit of wind, as soon as there's a bit of water, a bit of rain, it washes away your base and the house collapses. We don't follow Jesus by occasionally going to him when we're in trouble, when we're in pain. That isn't what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus means trusting him as the source of wisdom, as the one that we learn from in every situation, the one that we need to be with, the purpose is not to try to do the same things that Jesus did, not to try to live Jesus' life, but to live your life in the way that Jesus would. You know, the old saying, you know, what would Jesus do? It kind of has become a little bit cliche, but there's so much truth and value in that question, asking that question of ourselves. You know, if Jesus was living my life, if Jesus had my responsibilities, if Jesus had my job, if Jesus had my friends, how would he react in this kind of situation? What are the words that he might say? What are the things that might be stirred up in his heart? What kind of attitude or approach would he have to that person who's being an absolute jerk to me right now? This is what it means to follow Jesus. There's a couple of, if you're new to this whole following Jesus thing, maybe you've been around the traps a while and you've got a fair handle on it. That's awesome. Fantastic. I love it. If you're relatively new to the whole following Jesus thing, here's a couple of things that maybe you can do to help you get started. Firstly, ask Jesus to help you. Ask Jesus to help you to understand. Ask him to help you to know him, to know who he is, steer you in the right direction. I think that's probably pretty good advice for all of us, really, isn't it? Secondly, read the Gospels. We have some great accounts in the Bible, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They're the story of Jesus' life. If you want to know him, if you want to know who he is, if you want to get some ideas and some hints and some tips about how Jesus reacted to different kinds of people and the kinds of ways that Jesus talked, his approach to different things, read the stories of his life. And number three, so ask Jesus to help you, read the Gospels. And number three, make a decision. Make a decision. Say, I'm actually going to start doing this. That sounds super simple, doesn't it? It kind of is pretty simple. But it's a really important step. We actually decide and determine in our hearts and with our will to do something, we're far more likely to actually follow it through than if it's just a vague, oh yeah, that'd be nice. We say, I'm going to start, I'm going to do it. None of us follow Jesus perfectly. But over time, as we desire that, as we seek Him, and as we spend time with Him, we begin to reflect a little bit of the Master's influence in our life. Can we pray together? Father, it's our desire this morning to follow You faithfully, to be Jesus' followers, to be people who reflect the life and the values of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that as we make a decision, as we take up this challenge, maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's just a reaffirmation, a reaffirming of that in our lives, that we're going to do that. We're going to be intentional and deliberate about being a Jesus follower, about carving out time in our lives to actually spend with Jesus and be with Jesus. Lord, we pray that You would help us. We pray that You would help us to know You, to know who You are, to know the kinds of things that You would do in our shoes and in our place. Lord, in order that we might begin to reflect You. We might begin to reflect You and Your love and Your life to people around us, that they might be drawn to You through us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you have never made that decision to be a Jesus follower and you would like to know a little bit more about what that means, I encourage you just come and have a quick chat to me at the end of the service today, maybe as you're having a cup of tea or a coffee or whatever the case might be. I'd love to just chat with you and maybe pray with you a little bit more about what that means. But don't miss that opportunity. If God's speaking to your heart and calling you, encourage you to act on that today.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.